In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this 17th Sunday after Trinity. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Thus far the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord is invited into the home of a ruler of the Pharisees, St. Luke tells us. And it says that they watched him closely. There is an adversarial relationship between our Lord and most of the Pharisees. Though they both claim to be serving the same God, of course, one aspect of that adversarial relationship was that Jesus knew who he was. God the Son, now incarnate as true man also. The Pharisees, of course, did not recognize this. But more to the point of our text this morning, they had two entirely different doctrines of salvation. The Pharisees taught salvation by obedience to the law, whereas Christ brings the message of salvation by grace through faith in himself. And so he is invited, but probably more for the purpose of scrutinizing him than for the sake of listening to what he has to say, or even just enjoying his company. There is a man with dropsy. Today we would probably say edema, fluid buildup in the feet and sometimes in the hands, often the result of congestive heart failure or some other such malady. But it is a painful and disabling condition, and anyone suffering from it would rejoice to be delivered. As usual, Jesus' miracles are meant to be teachable moments, object lessons about who he is and what he has come to do. So he asks the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" It says they kept silent. Why? It cannot be that they had never considered the implications of their religion for situations such as this. They were, in fact, specific and detailed about exactly what one could or could not do on the Sabbath. But they probably had some sense that they were caught in the internal incoherency of their interpretation of the law. Jesus is about to drive that point home even harder, but for now, just notice the pickle that they are in. If they acknowledge that it is not necessary to keep the law of Moses inflexibly, they undermine their own religion. If they say that such healing is a violation of the law, well, then they look heartless. There's a reason for that. The law is heartless. Keep it or die. Obey or be punished. Be perfect or perish everlastingly. In this case, no working on the Sabbath. And healing a man on the Sabbath is working. Even if it's working a miracle, it's still working. In the religion of the law, man serves the law. And the law is a harsh master. So the lawyers and the Pharisees remain silent, rather than either looking ridiculous or admitting they don't fully believe their own religion. And that refusal insulates them against coming to true and saving faith. Our Lord, in His sometimes combative mercy, would take that insulation away from them. First, He heals the man. How can they object? They were the ones that failed to follow through on their own legalism and tell Jesus that it wasn't allowed. Jesus almost makes them passive co-conspirators in the rejection of their own legalistic religion. But after healing the man, Jesus pushes the point further. Their rejection of their own principles goes beyond the merely passive. Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? He invites them to recognize that in such a situation, they would actively violate their own principles in favor of doing what made sense. And they respond to that invitation, not surprisingly, with more passive silence, more hanging on to their insulation against being converted to salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The second part of this morning's text is perhaps not obviously of a piece with this theme, and yet it is. If you are living under the law, among other things, the law ranks you. You're better than him, but not as good as that guy over there. And seating was done among the Pharisees according to just such a legalistic ranking of the importance of the attending guests. So Jesus tells them a parable. He could have just described the situation right there, but in his parable, he makes it a wedding feast. So this has to do with matters of the church, the bride of Christ, in this eternal holy matrimony between the bridegroom, Christ our Lord, and the church, his bride. But Jesus tells this parable to those who are listening. When you enter, rather than sitting in the seat you think you deserve, and then being embarrassed when the host doesn't think you should be seated that high, take the low seat. Rather than claiming to deserve, claim nothing and receive the gift. Self-exaltation is law thinking, and it will result in your abasement. Self-deprecation is gospel thinking. It trusts that the gift will be given, no matter how undeserving we recognize ourselves to be. The exalted will be humbled. The humble will be exalted. Dear ones in Christ, behold how this mirrors the faith. And how this sort of sneaks around what I've been calling the insulation that these Pharisees were offering up, their silence, and drives the same point home from another angle. Law religion is inevitably either a religion of abject despair, I'll never be good enough, and that doesn't usually get codified into a religion. It just gets called nihilism, the mentality that nothing really matters, there's no point in trying. Or more often, law religion does become codified into a religion of self-exaltation. There are differences between the various religions, of course. Differences in the rules about what you have to do to get exalted, and different ideas about what that exaltation looks like. Some are more dietary in terms of their requirements, while others are more militaristic. Some encourage mysticism, and others encourage some sort of social activism. And the rewards, well, they differ too. Everything from eternal tranquility to eternal pleasures of the flesh to full-blown becoming a god yourself. But you get to be great if you follow the rules. That's how it goes. They all have that in common. Whatever the rules are, whatever the greatness looks like, follow the rules, and you'll be great. Our Lord is fully aware of the weight of the law on our backs. He should be. He carried it. All of it. He carried the sin of the world to the cross. Everything that needed to be earned, he earned for us by his death and resurrection. We earn nothing for ourselves. We have no innate, elevated spiritual status that we can claim for ourselves. We confess our sins right down to our very nature being sinful and unclean. But we don't do so despairingly. We don't give ourselves over to nihilism. Oh no. By grace, through the faith that the Holy Spirit has implanted in us, we are justified. We are forgiven. We take the lowest place on our knees in confession. And we do so with the absolute confidence that our gracious Lord and Savior will lift us up. He will exalt us, not because of what we deserve, but because of what He has successfully undertaken to deserve for us. As we are clothed in His righteousness, so we also shall be participants in His exaltation. As those whose place is made certain, not by our own imaginary good enough obedience to the law, but by the saving grace of Christ, the law is returned to its proper place. For one thing, it is fulfilled. For another, as Christ Himself said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Expanding beyond that, the law was made for man, and not man for the law. The ceremonial law in particular was a shadow of what was to come. The reality and the fullness is now found in Christ. God does not need our good works. Our neighbor does. So as those freed from the curse of the law, we undertake to love our neighbor as Christ loved us. That is, self-sacrificially. If our neighbor needs to be healed, and we have the wherewithal to do that, we can and should, even if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday. We can't do miracles, of course, but if the neighbor kid skins his knee, we don't have to stop for a second and think about what day of the week it is before we can put a Band-Aid on it. If the ox falls in a well, pull him out. And at some level, somewhere in their hard-hearted, thick-skulled selves, even these Pharisees knew it. They knew David fed his soldiers with the showbread. They knew that healing this man was a good thing. And they knew that they would pull their ox out of a well. Dear ones in Christ, peel away the insulation. Let the law show you not just the wisdom of taking the lowest place, but the justice of it. You are by nature sinful and unclean. By nature, you deserve no exaltation. Don't pretend that you do. But then, let the gospel assure you of the forgiveness of sins and the love of God and the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life of the exalted world to come. All of it is yours for the sake of Him who became the gospel for you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.